Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. So, today, as we, I think we know, that we will discuss the theology of the Holy Spirit, which is not an easy thing we can discuss, but it's very important to know. And first of all, we need to agree on something. When we try to discuss something about God, about the Trinity, we are not trying to understand, fully understand what the Trinity is. Because if we can't understand fully God, that means He's not God, first of all. So what we're trying to do is trying to approach something God has revealed to us about Him. No one can say that I can understand the Trinity in full. That's not available. So we'll try here to see what God has revealed to us. About the Holy Spirit especially, it was very difficult, not only from now, even from the early church, and even many fathers and many bishops was like reluctant to say the Holy Spirit is God. They were very hesitant to say it clearly, Holy Spirit is God, until of course it came to the issue of Constantinople and they agreed that we believe in Holy Spirit, He is God. Okay, but anyway, the history is not, we will not talk about history, we will not talk about, as Sabir agreed with me, we will not talk about history with the Church Fathers, we will try to discuss something like that, stuff like that. But first of all, we need to understand, I think that you didn't discuss anything before about the Father, the Son, the Holy Trinity, right? This is the first, like, yeah. So first of all, what we believe about God. What we believe about God, very important to understand or try to a little bit get an idea about what we believe about God. So we believe God is how many gods? Of course, this is Sunday school. We believe in one God. However, this one God is not, is what, how many persons of Godhead? Three. What does that mean? So how can we understand as one God, however, three persons of God? Godhead. And what does that mean, three persons? What the relationship between them? This is very important to know. We will try to get some of the expressions. To be honest, like, don't worry about expressions, but like, try to get the meaning behind it. So the first thing that the Church Fathers, when we're discussing the Holy Trinity, they use the term essence. The term essence, what does that mean? Essence, when we're trying to approach or understand the being of the Holy Trinity. So when we say they are from one essence. So essence, we're talking about the being. What is the Father? Who is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? And we start. And the second one we have to understand is like homoousios. Okay? Don't worry about, remember this, but try to get the meaning. Homoousios would mean the same essence. What does that mean? Anyone has any idea, can tell us what's a homoousios? Because this homoousios was a big discussion, especially in Nicaea, and there was like, there were the whole issue about one letter in homoousios. Homoousios, two words, homo the same, and ousia the same essence, from the same essence, from the same nature. So, anyone can try to tell me what was the letter they were trying to change, and Saint Athanasius refused to change? Anyone has an idea? So, homoousios, the only all thing about they were trying to change the yoda. So, changing the yoda will change the totally change the meaning of homoousios. They're trying to homoousios, like alike. It's not the same essence. So Saint Athanasius said, no, we don't change this. And that was the Arius who was trying to change. So we know that one essence, homoousios, from the same essence. Talking about the Holy Spirit was very difficult because it seemed like the scripture is not very clear to talking about the Holy Spirit. So, however, that was being said, that the Bible was not very clear. Like it was like we're talking about the Father and the Son, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit was very not clear. However, from the beginning, from the very first verse of the Bible, we're talking about God created earth and heaven, or heaven and earth. And when we talk about God at this verse, was talking about Elohim. When we go to Hebrew, back to Hebrew, Elohim, it's in plural, it's not single. So when we say God created heaven and earth, it was talking about, if we translate it in English, it would be gods. But he was talking about it's in plural. What does that mean? We can discuss together. I was like planning to discuss, not to talk too much. So what does that mean when we say God in plural created heaven and earth? He was talking about God, and when he used the verb, he used the verb of a single. But God in plural, what does that mean? Giving us an idea about? So yeah, the Trinity. There is the three persons. So from the beginning, the Bible is talking about the Holy Spirit. And then the second verse, and that was the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So when we talk about the Bible is giving us an idea about when it's talking about the Spirit of God, there is something coming, the life is coming. The history behind this problem of the homoousios, I will skip this, but what was the misunderstanding, and from this we'll go and see what's our belief about the Holy Spirit. So someone like Sabellius or some other people are saying that there's Trinity. However, in the Old Testament, God manifested himself as the Father. And the New Testament, in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested himself as, he approached himself as the Son. And now, it's the time of God, the Holy Spirit. What do you think about this? So he's saying, yes, in the Trinity, and it's a time of God, the God is his Father in the Old Testament, and he gave himself us as the Son, the Lord in the Incarnation, and the Holy Spirit now in the Church. What do you think about this? Any right or wrong, agree, disagree? Disagree. Why? Okay, so that's right. So you're talking about one person, but he's reigning in different time. So what's our belief? Our belief is God is one God and three persons, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit, that's called, when we talk about, we have also to understand something called the hypostasis. The three hypostases, one God and three hypostases. The God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking about something else was very also sometimes confusing. When we talk about the Father is the source of everything, right? And when we talk about the Son, we said the Son is, there is a word, anyone can, The Son is what from the Father? Begotten from the Father. And when we talk about begotten, we have to follow, like we have to, right after we say begotten, we have to say also begotten, not made or not created. What's begotten? Why? What's the meaning of begotten? Begotten, not created or not made. What does that mean? It's sometimes theology. It's talking about, especially with, like Samir told me, don't talk about spiritual anything about the Holy Spirit. The theology. So it will be a little bit dry. So we'll try to make it. We'll discuss it. Okay. So what does that mean? Begotten, not created. What does that mean? Why it's important to understand that Son is begotten, and what does that mean, begotten at a certain time, or what, and why is not created? Yes. Okay, how? Yes, so it's not created, he's not. So why the church father emphasized that, and they're very important to say that it's begotten. Yes, they are from the same essence. That's right. When let me be say it again. When the Son was begotten from the Father. When. So begotten, that means there was no time, the garden before time, right? There was no time, there was a father without a son. The son was not there. That was Arius was trying to emphasize. There was a time that the son was not there, right? So the church father is like begotten before ages and continuously before ages and not made, not created. He's not a creature. We are creature. We are being created from nothing, right? We have been created from nothing. However, we have the Son from the beginning, before ages, begotten from the Father. There was no time that the Father exists without the Son. So from before ages, there is a Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, you were going to say something. She said, yeah. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, there is another word, another expression. What we say, that the Holy Spirit is proceed from the Father. Proceeds from the Father. Okay. When we talk about proceeds from the Father, and we are talking about has been sent by the Son. What the difference? When we say, that, of course, at the same. The proceed from the Father also before us and continuously, right? So from the time, there is no time that the Holy Spirit was not there. So the Holy Spirit is God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, we use He. We don't use it. We do not use what. Who is the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is God. So it's proceed from the Father, and then we say that the Son, the Logos, our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, it's better for you that I go to my Father and I send the Holy Spirit. And there is a bit of confusion between now, okay, so we got the dilemma of proceed from the Father and Son. We'll not get into that. But when we're talking about sending, what difference between proceed from the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit? Any idea? We can talk freely. It's like the action of what? Okay. Okay. No worries. Meetings. so we can meet you downstairs, okay? I'll see you downstairs. So, yes, we yeah, it's you're going the right direction. You're going the right direction. When we're talking about the procession of the Holy Spirit from the Father, we're talking about again about being of the Holy Spirit. We're talking the being of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the sending of Son to the Holy Spirit to us, we're talking about the economy of salvation. It's like economy of salvation. We're not talking about the being of the Holy Spirit, as you said. It's economy of for our salvation. So it's very important to know this. Unfortunately, my presentation is like suddenly crashed, so I hope we can use this. But again, it's when we talk about God, if we can use many things. We can use the triangle, we can use the whatever, that's the best thing is triangle. If we have a triangle, what A, B, and C, okay? It's both like equal or equal, A and B and C, not equal like in angles. So A, I can say that, for example, that the gold, that's because we're talking about that's God. If the triangle of the gold, we can say A, so if A is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, can I say that A equal B? Can I say that? Yeah, no, in just A equal B. Can I say that A equal B? A is B. A is B. Can I say that? A is B. Is A. Yeah, a triangle. A, B, C, right? Triangle. What do you mean? Where is it? It's equal angles. Yeah. Sorry again. It's 360 degrees. Not really. I'm not talking about angles now. No, it's not angles. You need to go back to this. No. It's 180. Well, I'm not talking about angle. I'm talking about point A. Can I say point A is the same as point is B? Can I say that A is B, or it has different? No, we can't, right? So A is A, B is B, C is C. Same gold, all of them gold. So all of them from the same first expression from same essence, right? From the same essence. But A is not B, right? A is A, B is B, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, I think you need to go back to the study. Okay. So, another thing, what's called misunderstanding, or people who try to do heresies about the Holy Spirit, they said, like, the Holy Spirit is the third after it comes in order, in the third place, the third power, it said. So Father is the one, and then comes after the Son, and then comes after the Holy Spirit. Can we say that? Do we believe in this? No, we can't. Why? The all? Exactly. So we cannot say that we can't say Father is supreme or higher than the Son or higher than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the church, the Holy Spirit in the church is the life of the church. We say that the Holy Spirit, we believe it's the life of the church. And in the creed, we also, we can try to use the creed to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. We say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord. So what does that mean when we state the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the Holy Spirit is God? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about power. We are not talking about an idea. We are not talking about something. We're talking about person, right? The Holy Spirit is God, right? And His giver of life. Giver of life. From where we get this? From where the creed get it? How? Can you give me an example? Oh, very good. So in the Old Testament, if you remember, that God said, let's make man in our image. And then He breathed into His nostril, right? And He became alive. And then, so the first thing that, the first gift, I would say, that God gave the man is His, He breathed into him the life, right? His Holy Spirit. And then after fall, after sin, what happened? I'll ask you a question. Adam and Eve were naked from the beginning or after fall? After fall. They're always naked. So what happened when they felt sin? What happened? They felt ashamed. So why? Why the same moment? They felt shame. Nothing had changed physically. So what happened to them? How? These are the symptoms.
I think they lost their what they need to focus on. They lost sight of what's important.
Perfect. Why? What's the reason? Something happened. Yes, that's. Yes. So they lost the Spirit of God, right? They lost this breathing of God into the nostrils. They lost it. So they start, as the devil told them, Satan told them, your eyes will be open, right? So they left, the Spirit of God left them, and now they felt shamed right away, without any change physically. They felt shamed. So what happened after resurrection? So God, so Christ, the Logos, enfleshed, that means He took our nature on Him, right? That was enfleshed, so we can see it. Now, if the B is the Logos in the triangle, the enfleshed, that means what we can see, Him, right? And after He got that, and He renewed our nature, and then He went, after resurrection, He did something very important that was last Sunday in the gospel. What did He do? He breathed again into the faith of His disciples. And what did He say when He was breathing? Yes, receive the Holy Spirit. Yes. If you forgive the sins of any. But first He said, He told them, receive the Holy Spirit again. Now again, after the incarnation, and after now when we have the new nature in Christ, now we are able to receive the Holy Spirit again. That's why the order of the sacraments, first of all, is the baptism. In the baptism, what's happening in the baptism? Okay, so what is it? Yeah, what's happening? What's happening in the baptism? Why we have been baptized? Right away? So first of all, we get the new nature, right? How? We died with Christ. Okay. The question is, we get the new nature. That's very important to understand. I'll ask you maybe a question before that. So when Christ died on the cross, he renewed the nature of humanity, of all of humans, of the individual human. So we understand why the Logos, why Christ died on the cross. Why? We know that, right? Why? By death he conquered us. Oh, yes. What does that mean? We got our nature, which is the corrupted nature, had been renewed, right? Of course. So we agree, we can go step by step. So we understand how by death Christ conquered death. We do understand this, do we? Okay, we agree on this. Maybe I'll mention it in brief, maybe, because I feel like we're good. Oh, just in few seconds, in few minutes. Okay, so after sin, we have the corrupted nature, right? Our nature is being corrupted. What does that mean? We have an element of death, which is not originally from us. So we got the death in us. So what does that mean? When we die, we have the devil. He's like, he has the power of taking us into Hades. So when Christ took him on him, our nature, he also, but he without sin. So what happened to him after death? So he was able to die. Why? Because he got our nature. After death, what happened? The devil came to take his as any other person. So what happened? Death went try to capture Christ. He captured what? Life. Because Christ, God is life, the source of life. So he's trying to capture life. What happened? Why? His life, right? So that's why by his death, he conquered death. So the death died, if we can say that. Right? So he killed the death by his death. Can we say that now clearly? We understand, right? When he did that, he saved humanity. However, we are free to take this new nature on us or no. Or we refuse, right? How we accept the new nature? We have to die with him. This is the only way to take the new nature on us. We have to what? Die. Okay? How we die with Christ? In the baptism. So in the baptism, we take on a new nature, which is the nature that Christ had granted for us. After that, right? After that. So what does happen after? So after resurrection, Christ told them, receive the Holy Spirit. Because now you took the new nature, so now you are able to receive the Holy Spirit to be the temple of God. So the sacrament number two is what? Chrismation, the Myron. What is the Myron? What happened when we take the Myron on us? The chrismation? What happens? We receive the Holy Spirit, right? So we receive the Holy Spirit after we get the new nature. If we don't have the new nature, we cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because now we'll get back to Adam after sin. Holy Spirit has left. And the nature been corrupted. So now he has to put in a new nature in the baptism. And now we are ready to receive the Holy Spirit. We agree? Do you have any question in this part? I didn't intend to go into details of that. But I think it's important to understand this steps. So the Holy Spirit, the first job of the Holy Spirit, we said in the creed, is a life giving. He is a life giver. He gives us life. Number two, as we have with sanctification. What does that mean, sanctification? sanctification. We can get back in the Old Testament also. God is trying to give us an idea about this in a very simple way. Do you remember Jacob, when he saw the dream that there is angels going down, up and down? What did he do? He did something very interesting. At that place, at that stone, what did he do? How? Sorry? Yes, how did he do it? In the stone, what did he do to the stone? He did something very interesting. He gave an oil, and what he put this oil in the stone, that is the house of God. So from the beginning, God is giving us an idea about the sanctification. And at any time, there is a prophet or a king, what the prophet do to, do you remember David? What Samuel did? He did something very important to tell him, you are the king. He anointed him with the oil. Another question. What the difference? So what does that mean? That means he received also the Holy Spirit. But we have Saul had been anointed as well, right? Saul had been anointed before David. But something happened when Saul sinned or committed sin. The Bible is telling us the Spirit of God departed. So the question is, what difference between this, the Holy Spirit, when working man in the Old Testament and the New Testament? There is a very important difference. Exactly. So in the New Testament, it does not depart. Had been maybe grieved, but will not be departed, will not leave us. The Holy Spirit sanctify us. We are a temple of God because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, again, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God. He, the Holy Spirit, is God. Another very important role of the Holy Spirit from the Creed is like spoken through the prophets. What does that mean? How the Holy Spirit is spoken through the prophets. Yes. So when we talk about the Bible has been written, right? So he spoke through the prophets, and also had been written, the Bible had been written through the Holy Spirit, right? Is it right or wrong? Can we say that? He spoken through the prophet. So, we'll talk about this. Moses. I'm sorry about some of the confusion on that. Okay. We'll also talk about this. Now, again, we'll go to some. About also the baptism. The question is, and this is, we're trying to touch base on, I was discussing with someone, and there is the confusion between, of course, we can say clearly that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. We can say also the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, right? Right? So can we say that when we talk about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, can we say that he has, when he talk on the flesh, he has the flesh, the body, and what else? When have been in the incarnation, we've been the incarnate logos. He has the flesh, he has spirit, and he has what? The soul, like every one of us. So the spirit, we're talking about the spirit. Can I say he only have the spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? Can I say that? So Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we say he had a spirit, can I say he has only the Holy Spirit or no? Yes or no? No. Yes. So, do you understand the question, first of all? When we say Christ have the flesh and the spirit and soul, like any one of us, right? So when we talk about the spirit now, we talk about only the Holy Spirit. Sorry? No, Christ. When we say Christ have a spirit, we're talking about only the Holy Spirit? No. So how? Or what? So what we can say? He has what? So Christ has, can you say? Mm-hmm. Yes, like any other. Yes. And what about Christ? So he has a rational spirit, a human spirit, right? Christ had a rational spirit. We agree? Do we agree? He has a spirit like any one of us. Do we agree on this? Why it's wrong to say that the Spirit of Christ is only the Holy Spirit? Why it's wrong to say that? What's the problem of this? Yes, that means he's not a fully human. That means he did not save our spirit as well. Right? So the question comes after. So what happened to Christ when he died? Who died? Who did not die? The Holy Spirit. So we have now Christ as a human, as a man, and God at the same time. Right? Full man and full God. Right? And after union, as St. Cyril said, we cannot separate a man and God. So what happened after, in the death of Christ? Sorry again? As any man, the flesh died and the spirit does not die. Our spirit will not die. We live forever, right? So where is the Holy Spirit here? Where is the divine nature here? Or like the divine, I'm not talking about Holy Spirit. Well, like to be accurate, where is the divine nature here? The human spirit died and divine did not die. But like the human spirit dies usually, like when we die, when we go to heaven, what does that mean? Our spirit will never die, right? We don't die, our spirit does not die. So his spirit, the human spirit, also did not die, right? So where was the spirit? We understand that it went to Hades. So what about the divine nature now? So now the human, we understand that the body went to was in the tomb, and the spirit did not die. What the divine nature? Where is it? Where was? In human, it's very simple, right? Like, it's very simple. I think we discussed that before. But it's very simple. Like a human, if we are, let's do that. So if this is, if the man has a spirit, soul and spirit and body, okay? So there is the flesh, the body, and this is the spirit. So what happened when he dies? Is separation, right? They separated, right? So what happened to the body? We'll go to, back to dust. The spirit will go to heaven, right? Christ has also the same. Christ has a flesh and a human spirit. We agree? Yes? However, Christ has an extra thing we don't have. His what? Divine nature. So Christ has a divine nature. That's we do not have, because he is God. Thank you. Okay. So let's say this water is the divine nature of Christ. So the divine nature is with his flesh or with spirit? Both, right? Right, he has divine nature, right? So what happened when he died? The flesh parted from the rational spirit, the human spirit. The flesh or the body was in the, where? In the tomb. And his human spirit where? Yes. So where is the divine nature? Where is the divine nature? The water. Where is the water? In both, right? Divine nature did not die. Divine nature is not die. Only Christ, when he was able to die, because he took our flesh. But the divine nature does not die. But we say something in the liturgy, very important. What we say? His divinity parted not from his humanity. For what? Single moment or nor a twinkle of eye. That's what does it mean. So the divinity is with the flesh in the tomb. That's why he had been resurrected on the third day. And his divinity was with his human nature. Parted not from his humanity. We understand this? Perfect. Actually, this was not planned, all this what we discussed, but so back to the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. One of the very important rules of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification. And that's why we hear something very important in the Bible, and this caused a lot of dilemma, a lot of argument, a lot of discussions, that we are a partaker of the divine nature. Because we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit who is God, he is divine, so now we are partaker of the divine nature. What does that mean? Can I say we're like one essence with God? Can I say that? Of course. Yes? How? Sorry again? The same image, but not the essence. But what image is? No, the essence is the being of God. The being of God, which is we are human being. We are all the same essence. We are human being. But God, the nature of God is, of course, we're not. When we say we partaker of the holy, of the divine nature of God, what does that mean? And clearly, it's not, we're not the same nature of God, right? But what does that mean when the Bible says we are now partaker of the Holy Spirit? Can you say it again? Yes, so what does that mean again? That's perfect, you're going. So, when God created Adam, as Martha said, we created Adam or humanity in an image and likeness, right? The image we got immediately, we are the same image of God. God is Trinity, we all Trinity, right? So we have the same image of God. So we got this granted immediately. However, the likeness, we should grow in the likeness of God. The idea that Adam can grow in the likeness of God. He got the attributes of God. However, after sin, that all had been stopped. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are now continue to grow to the likeness of God. We are now be partaker of the whole of the divine nature. That means we got the attributes of the divine. That, what does that mean? When we can love, we can forgive. We have the attributes of God. I'll tell you an example. When we make tea, right? We use the kettle, right? We plug it, and we put water. What the temperature of the water before we put it? What's the nature of the water? Room temperature, right? After connected with the, we plug it and connected to the electricity, what happened to the water? Boy, this is the nature of the water? No. Now we add something new to the nature of the water. The temperature now, it could come to the 100, 200. This is not the nature of the water. However, they got it from the electricity. How we get back to the normal, we can unplug it, right? So that's exactly what happened to us when we say we partake of the divine nature. When we plug ourselves. So Adam unplugged himself from life. Unplugged himself from life. That's why that's the definition of death. How we get to life again, how to be, we get, because the source, do you remember how did Adam get life before? Was the breath of God. So God is the source of life. I can plug myself to the source, so I will be partaker of the divine nature. That means I get the attributes of life and all of it. I can grow and grow unlimited. And if I unplug myself from the source of life, what happened to the water? It will start to cool down, right? Until it came to its nature. That's what the definition, in a simple way, the definition of partaker of the divine nature. However, we can't say that I will be the same nature of God. So sanctification is a very important role in the Holy Spirit, and it's in the church, all the sacraments. What's sacraments? Why we say sacraments? And when all kind of asrar in Arabic, what does that mean? Why it's a sacrament? Is it, can we translate secrets? Can we say that? Like sir in Arabic is secret. Is it the same word? No, it's a what? Mystery. So what happened with the Holy Spirit come to the water? So this water, it becomes with the Holy Spirit. I can receive the Holy Spirit from this water. So the Holy Spirit sanctified the water. So now it's the same water as if it's from the River Jordan when our Lord Jesus Christ had been baptized. Since we're talking about that, why Christ had been baptized? Yeah. Yes. He absorbed all the sins of the people. And then? So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So does Christ need the Holy Spirit to come upon him? No, he does not, right? But now he put in flesh, he put on flesh, our nature. So what he is doing, he is opening the door for us also to receive the Holy Spirit. As human, he is opening the door for the human nature. He opened the door to receive the Holy Spirit. The question again, it's a repeated question. Did the human, every single one of us, receive the Holy Spirit after Christ had been baptized? Yes or no? No, right? So what we do? He opened the door, and my job is to accept and get to the Holy Spirit from this door. How? By baptism, right? So I die and resurrect with Christ. I think there is some analogy of the Trinity, and I think we can. I'm sure you know all of it, but. There's a lot to say, actually. It's of course, one of the very important analogy we used, or the fathers used, is the Son, right? About the Trinity. How? Again, we cannot, any example we're using, it's not accurate, it's not enough, it's limited when we talk about divinity. However, we're trying to understand a little bit. What does that mean is Trinity? Not understand, try to approach to our limited mind what a Trinity is, as long as one God and three persons. Three hypostases and one God. So the Son, of course, it has the sun and the ray and the heat, right? Again, it's very limited, however the Church Fathers used it. Also the fountain, the same.
How much time do we have? How much time we're done, right? And the time?
Is that not actually?
Almost midnight.
Anyway, we can also little bit know about the names of the Holy Spirit. What do you remember? What the name of the Holy names of the some names of the Holy Spirit? Can you remember any of it? The Paraclete. What does that mean? What does that mean? What's the Paraclete? Yes, the Comforter. Okay. What else? Yes, the Comforter. What else? The life-giving. What else? The Counselor. Yes. What else? the life giving. So, bottom line, let's to conclude again. When we are talking about the theology of the Holy Spirit of the Trinity, what we're trying to do? Do we try to study like that academic study or theological study or whatever? I don't think so. We're trying to know. To know God, to experience, because we need to experience God at the end of the day. We can use this to worship, to know that the Holy Spirit, when we say in the third hour, we'll pray to what we pray in the third hour. Descending the Holy Spirit into the silence. So we understand that the Holy Spirit is not just power, it's not just something, an idea, or he is God. He is God. He is the comforter. He is the life-giving. And all that. So, do you have any questions? Comments, questions? No? So no questions?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's always a difficult subject, and when we are asked questions about our Christianity and the Trinity, and then if we can't answer, then it's going to be very difficult to invite other people, because they are going to say, oh, those people are crazy, they don't even know what they are saying. So thank you for all who came today, and I find that this is like the backbone of the doctrines and the dogma. Understanding them is the backbone of our Christianity. So we'll pray and then we'll hang out downstairs, okay?
Intercessions of St. Mary's and all of your saints, hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.